Well, as we've mentioned a couple of times, this Advent season is the beginning of our new year in the liturgical season. We're focusing on the different songs found in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. And each song tells us something different about the deepest longings of the people who had been waiting for the Messiah for so long. Each song pronounces something about the hope, the joy, the peace, the love that not only the people of the Old Testament time had been waiting for, but also those are things that we are all deeply longing for. I think about the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, the line that says, "Our hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Our deepest longings are met in the coming of Christ." And so we start with Mary, the mother of Jesus, the first person who knew the Messiah was coming, the first person who had hope that Jesus coming would fulfill all that she and the people had been longing for. For most of my childhood, I had the esteemed role of playing Mary in our church's Christmas pageant. Are there any other Christmas pageant Mary alumni in the room? Yes, I see a couple. At my church, my brothers and I were basically the only kids the whole time I was growing up. So I was Mary, and then one of my brothers was always Joseph. And I would put on the Mary costume, and I would follow Joseph on our long journey through the sanctuary up to the front where we had the manger scene. My brother would carry a homemade out of our refrigerator box, life-size donkey through the sanctuary. We would get to the front, I would sneak behind the altar, I would pull out the baby doll and place it in the manger. One minute Mary didn't have Jesus and the next she did. We kind of skip over everything else. I would quietly kneel next to the manger where Jesus was peacefully sleeping and the congregation would sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. This is how we usually picture Mary, quiet, peaceful. She's endured this long journey to Bethlehem. She kneels by the manger where Jesus lays. She is peacefully contemplating as the congregation sings, O Little Town of Bethlehem. But Mary, as we just heard proclaimed, as Jessica read, Mary says so much more. She proclaims a message of hope. In Luke, we meet Mary when the angel Gabriel appears to her and tells her that she will give birth to God's son. And Mary asks, how can it be? And the angel says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary answers, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. When she says this, I am the Lord's servant, she describes herself in the same way as people like Moses, Joshua, David, Paul. Jewish scholar Amy Jill Levine and New Testament scholar Ben Witherington, they say that because of this, Mary situates herself among kings, prophets, apostles, and evangelists. We don't often think about Mary like this. Mary the prophet, Mary the theologian, Mary the woman who confidently said yes to participating in God's redemptive work. Mary, who broke out into prophetic song, the song we just heard, in which she proclaims that God has brought down rulers from their thrones and filled the hungry with good things. But this is the Mary we're going to think about today. After Gabriel visits Mary, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Luke tells us that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and that the baby, John the Baptist, in her womb leaps with joy. Elizabeth asks Mary, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Remember, this is before Jesus is born. And Elizabeth says, the mother of my Lord. Elizabeth knows, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she somehow knows that the child Mary is carrying is her Lord. In this moment, it's just these women who know that the turning point of redemption history is coming, and that is coming in the form of a child growing in Mary's womb. And Mary is so overcome with joy and hope that she sings this prophetic song to Elizabeth. Mary is a prophet who proclaims that God will keep the promises God has made, and ultimately it will be her son who will fulfill these promises. So I want us to spend some time looking at this prophetic song that she sings. Mary both looks back at what God has promised, and she looks ahead at what God will do. So first, let's look at how Mary looks back at what God has promised. In pieces of art, particularly in medieval time period art, this scene of Mary from Luke 1 almost always depicts Mary holding a scroll or a book. I have an example for you. The book she's holding is the Hebrew Scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament. This is by Leon Picardo. It shows Gabriel visiting Mary. You can see that Gabriel's visit interrupts her study of Scripture she has open in front of her. Personally, my favorite part of this image is the Holy Spirit like diving in through the window. but you can find lots of examples of scenes of Mary when Gabriel visits her, and she almost always has some sort of text with her. Throughout church history, the church has emphasized Mary's knowledge of Scripture because of her words in the Magnificat, because almost every line of her song is connected to the words and themes of the Hebrew Scriptures, of the Old Testament. What Mary hears Gabriel tell her matches what she is reading about. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty." These words closely align with many things we hear in the Old Testament, but one song from the Old Testament in particular that mirrors is Hannah's song in 1 Samuel. Hannah is Samuel's mother, and she had longed for a child for so, so long. And after God finally gave her a son, she was so thankful that she dedicated her child, Samuel, to be raised in the temple so that he would come to know God more. And when she left Samuel in the temple, she praised God, saying, "My spirit rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the heap ash. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor." You can hear echoes of these same themes in Mary's song. Like Hannah, Mary is a mother who praises God for what God has done through her child. And this reminds her of God's even greater promises to care for and deliver his people. These promises of God delivering his people is seen all throughout the Old Testament. Mary's words echo the song of Moses and Miriam in the Exodus after God rescues them from Egypt, saying that God performs mighty deeds with his arm. The language Mary uses of God being her savior and an imagery of rulers being brought down from their thrones is reminiscent of so much language we find in the prophets. For example, in the middle of Isaiah, Isaiah is writing to the people when they're still in exile, and he reminds them that God is their savior. In Isaiah 45, he says, "But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. There is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." While the people were physically in exile, while they're being ruled by a foreign king, God promised them that he is their everlasting salvation. We might remember the more famous prophecy from Isaiah, where he tells of the promised child to come, saying of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, a establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This is all the imagery and language of what Mary is singing about. Amy Jill Levine, in her book, Light of the World, she says, for the Jewish scriptures and for Jews in antiquity, in Jesus' time period, salvation is less an eschatological, meaning last things or end times matter, about getting into heaven or having eternal life. Salvation for them means freedom, a release from current circumstances, slavery, poverty, ill health, hunger, and thirst. As Mary proclaims her song, she has this kind of context in mind. She's speaking about liberation. She's remembering the history of her people in slavery and exile, longing for deliverance. She's prophesying that what God has done for her and is doing in her is the fulfillment of all that her people have truly been longing for. The king who will rule on David's throne forever, their everlasting salvation. When the angel tells Mary that she's going to have a child, the angel tells her that this child will be the Son of the Most High, that he would have the throne of David, that he would reign over Jacob's descendants forever, that his kingdom would have no end. Mary knew what every single one of these titles meant. All of this is the messianic language of the Old Testament. Mary knew well God's promises to the people of Israel. Mary knew that the angel was talking about the coming of the Messiah. Although who Jesus is would be far greater than what the people and even Mary expected, Mary knew that God's promises were being fulfilled in the child that was growing within her. As she proclaims at the end of her song, that God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised. But Mary doesn't just look back at what God has promised to do. Mary also looks ahead at what God will do. Mary's song is prophetic. All the verbs of Mary's song are in the past tense, meaning she proclaims these works as if God has already done them, as if they have already happened. These things that God will do, Mary says God has already done. She is not just hoping that God will do something great. She knows what God has promised to do, and she praises God as if these promises have already been fulfilled. And she knows that what was happening in her by carrying this child will be part of that fulfillment of God's promises. There's one more image I want to show you. This one strikes a bit of a different tone than the last one. This is an image by Ben Wildflower. It usually makes the rounds on social media at this time of year as people are drawn to the power in the words of Mary's song and how revolutionary they really are. I love this image because it shows the passion with which Mary is singing her song. She's proclaiming the coming of God's kingdom. Again, this is a different way of imagining Mary. It might even be a little unsettling for you, but I invite you to kind of sit with this image of Mary for a moment. Because Mary's prophecy, it sets the tone for the rest of Luke's gospel. As Luke unfolds how Mary's son would indeed be the one that was the promised one of Abraham's descendants. Mary's son would be the one Simeon prophesied would cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Mary's son would grow and become the man who preached good news to the poor, who lifted up the humble and proclaimed peace and hope. Mary's son would announce the coming of a kingdom that made people with great wealth leave him in sadness because they wanted to cling to their earthly security. Mary's son was the start of the eternal kingdom of God, the kingdom that God had been promising the people all along. In his book, Tell Her Story, Northern Seminary professor Nijay Gupta explains how Mary's song trains the reader of Luke to see the upending divine activity throughout the gospel. He writes, Mary's song warns the reader to look for signs of life overpowering death and to anticipate the greatest of reversals, the resurrection of Jesus. Mary is proclaiming what is to come and what is about to unfold in the coming of Jesus. She says, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. Mary proclaims that God is creating a new order to the systems of the world that belongs to the poor, to those who are hungry, and to the humble. As we think about Mary's song telling us what's about to come in Luke's gospel, this should sound familiar to us as readers of the gospel. Just a few chapters later, Jesus says these same things. He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Mary praises God, who will humble the proud and exalt the poor, feed the hungry, and in the rest of Luke's gospel, we see that it's Jesus who not only proclaims these things, but does these things. Mary's prophetic song of hope trains our ears to receive the good news that her son will proclaim and our eyes to see the kingdom of God at hand. This image of Mary also reminds us that the coming of God's kingdom is not only a spiritual reality, but has real physical implications in the world. Mary's words are politically revolutionary. She's prophesying the coming of a new kingdom, a new government, if you will. She proclaims that God is going to overturn the systems of the world. People who have long been on the undersides of the world's systems and governments have clung to Mary's prophetic words as a reminder of what God will do. And this image reminds us of how Mary stands in solidarity with them. Oscar Romero, the Latin American liberation theologian, he praised Mary for remembering the poor and powerless in her prophecy. These words are so revolutionary that at different points, countries like India, when it was ruled by Britain, Guatemala, Argentina, they've even banned Mary's words from liturgies and being spoken in public because of how politically subversive they are. What God promises to do, what the coming of Jesus means, what the kingdom of God means, is a threat to earthly rulers and their powers. A few weeks ago, I preached about how the resurrection is God's guarantee that the only kingdom that will last is God's kingdom. It is the realities of this kingdom, this government, that Mary is singing about. Therefore, Mary's prophecy gives hope to those who are hungry, those who are poor, to the powerless. Her words become a cry of hope that God will indeed do these things that God has promised. Mary's words give hope to those who long for the kingdom of God. Because just as Jesus says, God's kingdom belongs to the humble, to the poor, and to the hungry. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in one of his sermons, "The Song of Mary is the oldest Advent hymn. It is at once the most passionate, the wildest, one might say, the most revolutionary Advent hymn ever sung. This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary whom we sometimes see in paintings. It is instead a hard, strong, inexorable song of collapsing thrones and humbling the rulers of this world, about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind. These are the tones of the women prophets of the Old Testament that now come to life in Mary's mouth. So what does this revolutionary Advent hymn, this prophetic song of Mary, mean for us during Advent? Well, I think in the same way that Mary's song both looks back and looks ahead, her song invites us to do the same thing. So as we wait for the coming of Christ, Mary's song invites us to look back and remember the promises of God. Do you know what God has promised? Do you know the story of God, the story of all that God has done and will do? Do you hold those stories in your heart like Mary does? You who are weary, you who are poor, you who weep now, you who are hungry, you who are humble, do you know what God has promised you? It is good news. Mary reminds us that God has been faithful and will be faithful, just as he promised. But there's also a warning for us about what God promises to do. You who have power, you who have money, you who have earthly securities, there's a different kind of good news for us. Another liberation theologian, Justo Gonzalez, he says the gospel is not good news to those who thrive on injustice, whose power is oppressive and unjust. For them, the good news is first of all the possibility and the need of what may well be costly repentance. Those of us gathered here are all to varying degrees those with power, money, earthly security, those who thrive because of injustice done to others. And so Mary's song about the promises of God invites us to the costly work of repentance and to receive anew the good news of the coming of Jesus. Mary reminds us that God offers mercy to those who fear him. Not only does Mary's song invite us to look back at God's promises, but Mary's song also invites us, as we wait for the coming of Christ, to look ahead at the fulfillment of what God promises to do. While we're in the season of Advent, awaiting Christmas, we are also Advent people who await the coming of Christ again, when all that God has promised will finally and completely be fulfilled. But we do not wait in vain, because the birth of Jesus was the start of the coming of the kingdom God had promised. So do you see the kingdom of God around you? Do you see God's redemption in your midst? Are you taking part in the coming of that kingdom? Just as Mary sang about what God will do as if it had already been done, so too we can participate in God's kingdom now, even as we wait for the kingdom to fully come. We can prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ by turning from our pride and longing for power, by relinquishing our wealth, by sharing the abundance of what we have, by resisting the things in our life that allow us to be comfortable at the expense of injustice done to others. We can take part in the ways of God's kingdom now by lifting up the humble, giving to the poor, and feeding the hungry. Friends, God is remembered to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised long ago. Will you join Mary in singing with joy and hope because God has done great things? We can have hope because all that God has promised has indeed come in Christ, our Lord Emmanuel.